Hey, it's a privilege to be here. I'm so glad I could be with brothers and sisters of Christ and share God's word. And it's truly the only thing that brings life and a foundation that we can stand upon. And what the wise man built his house upon? He built it upon the word of God, right? He understood the word of God. And we're going to get in some scriptures and a little understanding of basically the obedience of the Lord leads to and basically brings forth to our life. But I just want to tell a little story. I love our pastor when he speaks, and very elegantly. And anybody that knows Pastor Cindy, you know, great people. And I just want to paint a picture of them, you know, to y'all. And y'all already know that because they spoke into y'all's lives. But the power of being obedient to the word of God and obedient to God brings fruitfulness, right? And it brings power. The very first time I ever heard Pastor, it was on the radio. And, you know, Paula and I had went to, you know, a few churches and everything, looking for a home and stuff. And I had heard a pastor on the radio, and we had basically moved. I had moved from Mississippi, and I was going to church in Lake Charles, Sulphur, a few different places. But a lot of the churches, you know, I would say, you know, a full message just wasn't there, right? And the beautiful thing about Pastor, he's very elegant in the way he speaks, and it's always backed up by the word of God, you know? A lot of churches are not like that at all. I don't know if y'all have been out there or not, but a lot of them are just not out there. And so, look, as far as me, I'm not going to waste my time, you know? And the way I've always, you know, looked at stuff is if I'm going to attend a place, I want it to be backed up by this right here. You know, there's plenty of jargon out there, you know? I mean, just turn on the one-eyed devil with his tail stuck in the wall. You can hear jargon all you want, you know? And nonsense. But the funny story is that as I begin to listen to him on the radio, and, you know, I basically look in my word, and what he spoke is very, you know, identical to what the word says, and understanding from the word is backed up. Hey, that's what it's meant to be as a Christian, is to basically check out what, you know, your pastor is saying, and saying, just not say, all right, well, I take it as that. I want it to be backed up by the word of God. I want to have an understanding, and I want to know that he's telling me the truth, right? We're called to do that. You know, you called to basically pray about it, look at it, and sometimes it's not easy to digest, right? Sometimes he hits you right between the eyes and say, yeah, that kind of hurts, but I needed to hear that. Amen? And that's where correction comes. But anyway, so I listened to him several times on the radio and everything. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go pass by and just, you know, look at the church and everything. And maybe I could see somebody I could speak to or whatever. And I heard it was on 165. It blew me away. I said, man, 165? I said, where in the world? In Iowa. I said, I'd never seen the church before, you know? And I like to get my healthy portion of cracklings and boudin at Rabideau's. So why in the world I never seen the church before, right? And so anyway, I pass by, I come down 165, I'm looking, you know, I get to the end and I go back again, you know, and going down almost to Fenton on past Kinder. I'm like, where in the world is this place at, you know? And if y'all remember, they had a big old concrete square out in the front of the church. Does anybody remember that? I think it was a old flagpole or something. I think maybe this place was maybe an American Legion or something. But it was the biggest chunk of concrete right there at the corner you ever seen. I mean, it looked like a mountain of concrete. It was unbelievable. Matter of fact, Pastor asked us to help get it out, and it was so tough on my trailer and bulldozer. After it was finished, it got finished with me, actually, but I got off my trailer and dozer. I had to sell the trailer and the dozer because it was the end of it. But the funny thing is, you know, I passed through, and I'm going back, and I said, well, I didn't see the church. I said, I wonder where this place is. So I come back through. Well, I didn't see it again, you know. I'm like, man, where in the world is this place at? You know, because I listened to pastor and speaking on the radio, and I said, any man that shares the word so elegantly and perfectly, you know, is going to have an enormous church, right? You know? And so anyway, I'm like, well, heck, I'll go ahead and get me some crackers. I stop here at Rabidoo's. I'm sitting there. And it's not recommended that you eat cracklings. I'm not putting that plug in. But every Cajun person or person that likes good food has to have one or two every once in a while, okay? I'm just saying don't make a milkshake from them and have it on a continual basis, a protein shake, right? So anyway, I said, well, heck, I'm going to go back. And I ease back. And then I look over the overpass. I look. I'm like, well, heck, there it is right there, you know? And in my mind, my picture was a lot different. Did anybody have that same picture? Am I the only Kuyong? Yeah. So I'm expecting, you know, a big old elaborate, you know, building and everything. And I could hear clear as a bell, son, what you looking for? Yeah. You know, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, he can hit you right in the eyes, right? Right between the eyes. So what kind of church are you looking for? That's the question. What are you looking for in your life? You know, our king, he didn't look like the people of his time. He wasn't born in the particular places, Christmas season, time of the year. And look, hey, it may be on a different day. I understand that. One thing is, I'm here for the party. You understand that? I'm glad he was born. I'm here to celebrate. I want to be with my family. I want to be with the friends. It's the spirit of it. It's the spirit of Christ. By the way, I'm glad it is around December that we get to celebrate it. That way all the Gualimals don't eat us alive, right? Y'all know what that is? That's some mosquitoes. Look, the mosquitoes around our house will trip you and they'll eat you alive, okay? That's how big they are, like mockingbirds. They run into you and knock you down. Am I right? Sometimes. So, look, I'm glad it's this time of the year, right, that we get to celebrate it. So, anyway, I am exceptionally glad that we get to celebrate his birth. He sent his only begotten son for us. Yes, amen. Amen? Amen? That's power. So as I passed by, he said, son, what you looking for? And I'm like, well, I was expecting something more. You know? Now, guess what? Our church does some phenomenal things. I don't know if you know or not, but look at all the flags, stuff that we represent, okay? Y'all are a part of that. Every time you give to the kingdom of God. Hey, we're giving to some awesome things. There's some awesome missionaries that come up here and do some stuff that's unbelievable. The gentleman that's basically writing the curriculum for, it's in Africa. They're out there on the wall. But anyway, you know, I mean, they're doing some amazing things, right? And part of the country that they're in, I mean, they can face persecution, and if they get caught, hey, it's not going to be good. And that's not the best place to raise a family up, right? So our church is doing some marvelous things, giving, advancing the kingdom of God. And I'm so very excited for that. And the fact of the matter is, when God hit me between the eyes and said, son, what are you looking for, right? We have to know at the end of the day, we're looking for him, right? And he may not exactly look like what we perceived, okay, and understood. And I realized that when I had attended Bible college, I went from an oil field. I said, hey, I want to go to Bible college for a little while. And I realized when I had got up there and got with the, I guess you say, I would say the first fish frying committee, but the religious folks, I said, wait a minute. I said, that looks a lot different than who my father is right here. And I understand Bible college is good for some people, and in some places they are very good. I understand that. But I saw a lot of things that basically turned me away also, right? And they didn't look like what my father looked like in this scripture, okay? And so I understood and I learned some things, and I understood that I had to feed and understand, get a relationship one-on-one for myself, right? And I understood that, hey, it depends on me and him getting this right. And then I understood a very simple principle, and I always tell everybody to this day, hey, if this and this is right, then this and this is going to be okay, okay? It's going to be right, okay? Because you have the source of life. Disciples clearly understand it. Where else are we going to run, Lord? Where else are we going to go? You have the words of life. You have what I need to hear. I didn't have peace. I didn't have understanding. I didn't have direction until you brought it forth to my life. That's what I want. I don't want to waste my time. You know, I see it changing. And y'all could see the world changing too as we look at it. Many of y'all probably don't know my story, but, you know, I bounce around like a ping pong ball my whole life. And it wasn't easy. I don't know my father. You know, we bounced around, bounced from household to household, you know. So growing up, I had a chip on my shoulder, you know. The thought was, well, if I only had what they had, you know, y'all been in that trap before, you know, if I only had just a chance, if I only had somebody speak to me just to give me a little direction, you know, then I'd be okay. And I come to a point in my life at a drunken stupor in a high where I wanted to take my own life, and God saved me. And I'm eternally thankful that he's a God of second chances. I'm eternally thankful that amidst my chaos, confusion, anguish, depression, lack of direction, I didn't know the words to say. And I like to share that because I want you to understand that there's hope out there in a hopeless society, in a hopeless world. And so in the midst of that, I didn't know the scriptures to say. I didn't know Romans. I didn't know the Romans Road. I didn't know any of that. All I know how to do is mutter the name of Jesus. And ever since then, I've understood if you're down to nothing, God's up to something. So the anthem of hope is upon us in Jesus Christ and him crucified. Where else can we go? Where else can we go? You have the words of life. In my drunken stupor, my high, all I knew to do is say, Jesus, save me. I got kicked out of all my schools. It's not because, you know, many other reason, but you know, I didn't have direction and I didn't have the guidance. But I understood I may not be the most elegant speaker and I may not have all these things. And I don't know the scriptures of the Bible at that particular time. I knew God right then and there when I called out his name and said, Jesus, save me. I felt a burden lifted off of me that I've never ever felt before. Instantly my mind and just state of drunken stupor in that predicament, God relieved me. I could see clearly and I understood that God was real. Just by those simple words, Jesus saved me. Since then, never looked back. I understood. Now, not saying there hasn't been hard times and the struggles, there has. But I understand from that point on that where my strength and my help comes from is him. So simple words, when you're down to nothing, God's up to something. You may not be able to understand many things at first in this scripture. But as you slowly begin to read and you actually apply yourself, God can speak to you. You know, and so in school, I learned differently than everybody. It wasn't because, you know, I just didn't want to learn. It's just I learned a lot different. You could ask my wife. I guarantee you, if you looked at the books and everything that I have and what I listen to and apply myself to, I learned at my own pace, right? And I learned differently. Hey, so be it. That's okay. But what I'm saying is, hey, if God can use me, he can use you by being obedient, okay? And that's the key. That's the key thing. So saying all that, hey, God pulled me out of that place of death and destruction and set me upon my feet that I could walk firmly. He's given me a legacy of my sons and my family. And now that my household, my family comes to us at a time of Christmas, because we basically set the attitude and the atmosphere of our home, right? And so the people that come forth to our home, Say, hey, even friends, we want to come over to y'all's house and have Christmas. Hey, you're more than welcome. Family, we don't know what it is. We would like to be at y'all's house. We'd like to be with y'all. Everybody's calling. Hey, we want to be with. Why? Why? Christ in us, the hope of glory. So they don't even realize that what they're saying is, you have something that we don't have. And everywhere else, there's chaos, there's drama, there's confusion. But you have something that we don't have, okay? And they feel that. They're drawn to that. As a Christian, your actions should speak so loud that I can't hear what you're saying, right? People watch you. They'll watch you. They're looking out the corner of their eyes and everything. You know, they're watching you, consistently watching you. Saying, hey, is he just, you know, blowing smoke? Or is he legitimate? You know, is he sincere? Is he the real deal? Why? People want hope. People want a foundation. They want an understanding of there's something that can help them in their lives and make a difference instead of chaos and confusion. And that's Christ in us, the hope of glory. But anyway, as Bible college, I understood that, and I understood. I went to there for a little time and everything. And as I learned many things, I said, hey, a lot of things that went on and people do, it doesn't look like what my father looks like in this word of God. In the same way, an idea of what I thought the church should look like didn't look the same in my mind as I passed it several times looking for it. But thank God, from the beginning, as I was in the cow field, I learned to hear the voice of God for myself. So what is the most important thing for you to do in your Christian life, in your Christian walk? Hear the voice of God. Hear the voice of God. That is so important that that'll lead you so much farther than you can ever conceive or comprehend. And on your own work ethic, your own ability, let me tell you something. God can do more in 2 minutes than you can do 20 years of hard labor. You got to understand that. I'm living testimony of that, okay? Now, God has abundantly blessed us. That's not to brag. I'm boasting in Him, okay? You understand that? I'm boasting in Him. But as I saw that, I understood that didn't look at Bible college like kind of like what my father looked like in this word. I said, I understand. I got to hear God for myself, and I have to feed myself, right? And now we do come to church to keep the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. The pastor always says, hey, if you raise up and hit your head, what's the very first thing your hand does? You rub your head, right? We're parts of the body. We care for one another, right? We're here for one another. We should be praying for one another. We should be, if we see somebody sick or not able or whatever, pray for them. If we see them in need, help them. And that's not just saying, look, you know, some people, they want handouts all the time. You know, look, it's you and I coming together in agreement of the word of God. If you see them, they have a legitimate need, then help them through prayer, through gifts, offerings, whatever the case. We're able to do that through missions, okay? Now, as I'm listening to God, I understood Bible college. It was a time that I learned, and then I went back to work at the oil field. And God clearly told me, hey, son, your Christian life will be put to test at the oil field. Look, hey, if your Christian walk does not work in the oil field, in the plants, you know, but there's a lot of scoundrels out there, and they don't get to go home in the evenings and different stuff, so they just let it all hang out. Their wife's not there to hit them over the head with a frying pan that they probably like to, and maybe even the military some, but they're not there to hit them over the head like they need to be hit, you know. But yeah, if your Christian life did not work in the oil field, then it, you know, what do you have, right? It's being put to test. And so, yeah, as I go to the oil field, you know, I spend a time out there, and God begins to slowly teach me and guide me and everything. And it came opportunity for me to basically start working for myself after several years. And, you know, it was an awesome time of stretching and everything. But all through my life, I was led by the Spirit of God at the time when I gave my life to Christ. And like I said, I didn't know what to say, and I didn't know what to basically do. All I said, Jesus, save me, you know. But I began to hear the voice of God, and I began to understand that I needed correction, and I needed understanding. And then the things of confusion, chaos that was in my life began to be replaced with this right here. So, you know, say for instance, everybody knows the saying, well, it's just karma, you know. That's a big thing back in the day. Well, guess what? All that nonsense is replaced with this right here. The rain falls on the just and unjust just alike. So we start to get a new way of thinking, right? It's aligned with the Word of God. And the Word of God begins to direct us, correct us. You know, when we have disagreement with our family and you want to use that forked tongue, then God brings His scripture and say, son, even a fool's counted wise when he holds his tongue shut. You understand? So I start to understand, as Christians, you start to understand that you're held accountable right now because God is teaching you. And when God teaches you, you know the right thing to do. It's backed up by the Word of God. It's backed up by a foundation now. You understand that? It's backed up by the words of life. And that's what I want to look like as I live my everyday life. I want to look like my Father. I want to smell like my Father. I want to have an understanding like my Father. Because in the Word of God, He has the words of life. Okay? I started to understand that. And I've lived it consistently from the time of the cow field to now. And I intend on to keep going and setting the atmosphere for my house. I understand, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I understand as my family and friends want to come and participate in Christmas because they feel the anointing upon our lives. Your life speaks so loud as a Christian by your actions. What your everyday actions do, everyday life, it's a representation of the kingdom of God. Will you choose to represent the kingdom of God clearly, right? Without wavering to the left or the right? Or where you choose to basically live a defeated mentality. What comes out of your mouth, determines your path. As a man speaketh, so is he. It's an understanding. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You have to determine that on a daily, consistently basis. David said, early in the morning, when I rise, I will seek the Lord before the dews upon the roses. And even before that, guess what? As you go to bed at night, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You know, very easily, when I correct my boys and when I spank them, okay, what I do is I say, son, do you know what you did wrong? Do y'all know what y'all did wrong? Yes, sir, we do. Okay, good. Look, I'm going to have to whip your butt, all right? Now, I know that may go against somebody, but hey, as we have to do that, right? Now, put a plug in him. When we go to the auction and unload the equipment, the people drop their mouth and their jaws because they don't believe that they get out and work, hustle. They use all their manners. And, you know, so many people, we get compliments from so many people, business guys and everything like that, because they're amazed, because that is absent, okay, in this day's society. Right. Now, when I whip them, what's the very first thing that daddy does after I whip you? And I give him a hug, right? Hey, there ain't no hard feelings here. Daddy loves you. Now, guess what? Our Father does the same thing with us, right? When I pass by and the words of life come forth and I'm passing by the church, what you looking for, son? Well, I'm looking for something different, right? I had a different mindset. What I need to be looking for is what God has spoken to me in this word. And that brings the word of life. What I need to be looking for is a voice of God speaking a word into my life. And it's not always easy. You understand that? The very first time when I go out and it was time for me to basically start a business for myself. Look, I was basically at the wit's end and I was down to a point of nothing again. But when I was down to nothing, God's always up to something. You understand that? Beautiful things come out ashes. So when God would tell me to do crazy things, like go and pray over some roll-off dumpsters and put anointing oil over them, and the people look at me like I'm crazy, guess what? It ain't crazy if God tells you to do it. Now, your mind can't comprehend some of the things because he uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. You don't understand sometimes when you want to hang on and God tells you to give a particular tithe. Man, hey, that sucker's got claws in it, right? And you don't want to let it go. But you have to be faithful and obedient to let it go. You have to let it go and have a joyful heart because God loves a joyful giver. And let me tell you something. If you can't give out of $50, you can't give out of $50,000, and you can't give out of $500,000. The mindset of, look, God, if I had $500,000, I could give. No, you wouldn't. Go lie to somebody else. You know why? Because it's not here. You should think the same thing. But guess what? When I understand God at his word and I started becoming obedient and I started to understand, hey, I leave my hand open. All I am is a conduit. Bam, 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 bam. God's blessing flows. I mean, God loves obedience. Guess what? If you're willing to stand obedient, then God is willing to bless you abundantly above and meet your needs, right? He shall supply all your what? Needs, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I said, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper, even as your soul prospers. Okay? So, in the beginning of Jesus' life, what was given to him? Does anybody know? What? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You see a provision. Why? Because Mary, Joseph, was obedient. Now, when we get into this word right here, we'll understand it's a beautiful picture. Christmas time, to me, and to my family, is God's provision. It's about being obedient. And it's about listening to the Father and have the Father speak to us, just like he spoke to Mary and Joseph. And guess what? As you're obedient, what happens? I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging for bread. That anointing begins to flow upon us. Our provisions are met. Yeah, but Lord, I don't know, Paula, when I said, look, I believe the Lord's leading me to start our business, she was scared to death. Am I right? She was, you sure? And you got to understand, women, all women like security, right? Women like security and everything. And they, that's their mindset. That's how they're wired. And that's beautiful. There's nothing wrong with that. And, as I step out, I say, all right, Lord. I say, well, I'm stepping out into the unknown again. But one thing is, I know I'm going to do. I'm going to be obedient and I'm going to be sensitive to the Lord. So when he tells me to go out and put anointing oil on dumpsters and pray over them, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm looking like an idiot out here, Lord. I just don't know if I can do this. When my tires on my truck are completely bald, I don't know if any of y'all know anything about trucking, but look, when they're completely bald and I run from North Carolina to, Louisiana or Louisiana, North Carolina, trying to sell a tractor and do a deal and haul something back, guess what? That's a long ride. I have no idea besides the anointing of God that holds my tires together. You understand that? But I go out on God's word and very sensitive. It don't make sense. Again, he uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. It don't make sense. So when I go and put anointing oil on my tires and pray for them, his provision gets me over there and gets me back to where I need to be. Amen? Amen. So it's not foolish if God leads you to do it and he tells you to do it. He's always going to be faithful and just to meet you in your time of need where you're at. Spit in the ground. Spit in the ground. And form my eye, right? Put it over the man's eye. He could see, right? That seems crazy to us. Now, there's a particular time, and you got to understand, I may have told this story before, that my truck wouldn't start. And I was sitting there, I was so mad, I had to go, and I'm looking. And, when that kind of stuff happens, it's just the worst time, right? Has anybody ever had a difficulty where it's just absolutely been the worst time? He said, man, it can't get no lower than this. Well, guess what? It gets lower, you know? And so, you know, I'm sitting there and looking at the engine, and I don't have my tools to work on it. I'm so aggravated and everything. And I clearly hear God speak to me, and he said, I want you to spit on your engine and holler freedom as loud as you can. I said, man, I'm thinking crazy things, man. I'm nuts in my head, you know. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, look, I don't understand this, man. I don't understand this at all, you know. And so I'm like, all right. So I'm sitting there, and I go, all right, I'm going to go pop the hood. I pop the hood and everything. I spit on it. Then I go, freedom, like that. He said, no, that's not what I said. I said, I want you to scream freedom, you know. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is so stupid, you know. And I'm sitting there, and I'm just sitting there like an idiot. You know, I'm gonna feel like an idiot, man, you know. And as I'm sitting there, I'm like, all right, freedom. And I think y'all might have heard this story before. He said, no, that wasn't screaming freedom. That wasn't proclaiming freedom. You know, you was holding it under your voice. Now, this time they had some more homeless people walking, you know, like this with their bag and they're sleeping. I had my hood on my truck popped and everything, and they're walking. And I'm like, oh, man, I'll wait till these people get past the truck, you know. And no, that's not what I said. I said, I want you to scream freedom. So it's obedience. What he's teaching me again is obedience. Now, I was obedient in the cow field, but there's times that we want to take our own way, right? Moses, you know, speak to the rock, you know. No, I want to do it my way. I want to do it my way. No, that's not what I said, Moses. Do it the way I want you to do it. All right, Lord. I'm sitting there, and as they come by, I go, freedom! Like that. Man, them people looked at me like that, and they just start going the other way, looking at me like that, like I was nuts, you know. And I was nuts, right, at the time. And so, look, I was like, okay, I done it. And I felt so relieved, you know. And the moment of truth, whoom, that truck fires up. I'm like, oh, my goodness, thank you, Lord. I go out there. And I shut the hood and stuff and take off. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I hope I don't have to do any crazy thing like that anymore. But the point of that matter is, listen, it's always going to be something else. Times are changing in the new year, okay? And I just want to say, as a business owner, is I've been consistently obedient. And every time that I found myself straying away from what he tells me to do, even though I may not understand it, then I get off in the mud, okay? If I enter back into his provision and his obedience and understand what he speaks to me through his word, you know, consistently, I have a hedge of protection around my household, my family, my finances. He shall supply all of our needs, okay? So, there becomes an anointing to be able to walk consistently under the wing of the Most High. Y'all understand that? So that's where I find my truth. That's where I find my understanding. So when, like, say, for instance, right now in business, and I'll just give y'all see, as in America, as we have known it, the supply chain is breaking down. So, like, say, for instance, on my new bulldozers, I order a oil sensor or whatever for my dozers, and I look around, guess what? There's only one in the whole country. Yeah. So that's on new dozers. And then on a new roll-off truck, I go to get an air compressor, and the top of the air compressor, and they're on national back order. So I'm looking at this, and most people don't even know what's going on, because if you're not in the business world, and some of you may know in like the restaurant industry, you can't get certain things or whatever, and it's kind of changing. And some of you at the pharmacy, you may not be able to get some of your medicines or whatever like you used to get them and everything. So the availability is just not there. And so I'm like, all right, Lord, what am I supposed to do? You know, go and buy a new roll-off truck every time mine breaks down because I can't get one part. You follow me? So what I'm saying is, The world as we know it is changing. And that has to bring us to a place that we're obedient to be able to listen to God to get direction, okay? And understanding that He's going to be our provider, not the way we've always just possibly done it, right? So now it's coming to a place to where, hey, listen, it's going to cause the church, everybody alike, to be sensitive and to listen to God's word and understand that He is my provider and not all these other things, right? Understand He has to be my source. And so I look at it and I see what's going on. And I see, like, say, my roll-off truck, that part's on national back order. And I pray the only way that I'm able to get it is another gentleman from another company bought extra. And he was able to sell me one off of his shelf because the rest of the country didn't have one. They didn't know when they can get it. Have y'all run into that problem so far with anything or no? Medicines or whatever? So it's not only on that. I do a lot of equipment, buying and selling equipment and everything. And so I see it. They said the majority of the equipment's supposed to be here in November, was supposed to be here in November. Guess what? It's not there. Okay. And so now I see on the business side of things, things are starting to change. You know, in the world, you see the change that's going on. You see the lawlessness, right? Everybody has a particular haze upon them. There's hopelessness out there, okay? That's why people have attitudes. I mean, they're getting road rage. Nobody has joy anymore. Well, guess who has to bring joy? Guess who has the words of life? Guess who's a representation of the gospel? Guess who has to be the hands and feet of this? Right here. Huh? Us. Our actions speak so loud that I can't hear what you're saying. The world's consistently watching people who act like a Christian, okay, by their actions. Don't have to necessarily speak by your actions. By the fruits of the Spirit, represent the kingdom of God that come from your tree. Are you connected to the wellspring of life? Are you consistently drinking from the river of life? Are you dipping in the river of life? Or you just want to stick your toe in and just barely linger around, like Pastor says, one foot on one side of the fence, the other foot on the other side of the fence, that ain't going to work. So even in there, I see it in our world as our supply chain breaking down. The things that we know it, America as we know it, it's shaking. You know, the supply chain took 30 years to develop. You know, it's broken down now in 3 years. No telling how long it's going to take to basically put it back together again. So guess what? Our dependence now has to come to a point where we have to understand that Jehovah Jireh is my provider. He's my source. I keep my hand open. Even though I don't understand His ways, I understand He's going to go ahead and be my source and put what I need in His hand. Okay? So I see this. Miss Cindy talked about it. The spirit of Issachar, that, you know, people know the spirit of Issachar, which was basically the leaders back in Israel, and they were able to see, you know, and give provision, help the Israel nation how to prepare, you know, and best go forward as their nation and everything. I see the times are changing, you know, and the world as we used to know it is changing also. But guess what? I understand He's the bread of heaven. You know, I have friends that are business owners and everything and, you know, done very, very well. And I see them right now, the way the economy is, everybody's slowed down big time, you know, and a lot of them are scared to death. I mean, they're literally scared to death. Okay. And I see an opportunity when I'm speaking to them, and I know, and I want to be very careful and sensitive to the Spirit of God to interject hope to them, even in the midst of their, you know, their fearfulness. And so I listen to all this spiel, how bad, you know, economy and things are, and, you know, their business is slowed and this and that and the other. And I say, you know, I say, at the end of the day, I understand all these things, because they always ask, well, what do you think, you know? I listen to them, and they'll tell you all their hardships and everything. And they'll say, well, what do you think? I say, well, you know, what I think is that, you know, God's provided for me, you know, and He's consistently provided for me. Why? Because I listen and I enter into that conduit. See, I want to be used by the kingdom of God. And I keep my hand open. He supplies my needs, okay, according to his riches and glory. And so I'm able to interject a simple nugget of truth. And I say, you know what the Bible says? Well, no, what does it say? Well, it says the hands that are diligent will never go hungry, you see? And so I'm able to interject that nugget of truth and that hope that they can now think about and understand that. Has it been truthful in my life? Absolutely. Has he asked me to do some things that I didn't understand? Absolutely. Will he ask me to do some things that I don't fully understand and that kind of makes me uncomfortable, you know? Absolutely. Well, where does my help come from? My help comes from him, right? Amen. Let me read this for you. Hey, and the thing about the first service is up in Adam, right? Y'all like to get up in Adam and, hey, get the day started early. That's good. But we'll go to Matthew. Basically, the pastor spoke a good message. I think it was before Christmas. Beautiful message and everything. But this speaks on basically the same thing as the Christmas story. And this is chapter 2. And it's basically when Herod sent out a decree across all the land that he wanted to do a census and basically get everybody to come register and everything like that so he knows who's out there. Maybe a simple way to say it so he can get money from them and pay taxes, right? So anyway, this is when the Magi come to visit from the east. It says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod, and that's chapter 2 if you want to turn there, of Matthew, the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, it's always intriguing me, the wise men. My question is, well, then what makes a man wise? You know, what made them wise? And very simply, an interjection there is the beginning of wisdom is to what? Fear of the Lord. So him who fears the Lord and the fear of the Lord is understanding God's ways and what eternity is about in the kingdom of God, the principles of the kingdom of God. So the wise men were wise because they basically put themselves under correct teaching. They knew the prophecies of Jesus, you know, and the Messiah coming. And so they were able to see that. They looked for him, okay? They understood who he would be. So saying where he is, he who is born King of the Jews, for we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. They basically wanted to, he was scared of being overthrown by his power. So his power taken away. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of all the people together, the first fish frying committee, that's me interjecting that. You know, all the so-called the religious folks and the great politicians, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of you shall come a governor who shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come to worship him. We all know that's a scam, right? The wise men didn't know that at this time. They didn't know that. Okay. So they're like, at that time, they're like, okay, you know. And so they go about their way. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came, stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God, now they know, right? So they didn't know that Herod was actually after him, but now, Okay, after they had basically given the gifts, God in a dream that they should return to Herod, they departed. So it's just that they should not return to Herod. They departed into their own country another way. So God very clearly spoke to them in a dream. Once again, they were obedient. They didn't go back to Herod because Herod intended ill will from them. There again, you see God's provision, right? That's God's provision. As long as you're willing to walk according to his will and stay under his hedge, under his protection. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor is a seed begging for bread. I understand that truth. You understand? They understood that truth. Why were they wise? Because they were obedient to the word of God. They're obedient to understanding of what scripture, the Old Testament and prophecies had spoken. So they were obedient. They bring forth gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And you have to understand that's provision for the kingdom of God, for him to do his work, right? They were able to go back through Egypt. I'll fast track it, but basically go back to Egypt, and then it was able to go back to Nazareth and basically have a home and a place and everything. So therefore, God's provision, because Mary and Joseph were obedient consistently. And you have to look, if you want to, just read at the obedience step by step right there from, you know, you could do it with really the whole, the birth of Jesus, but until the time that Herod passes and then his son comes forth and he said, well, not yet. They were scared. Archelaus or whatever. After Herod passes, Archelaus took reign. They still were fearful that, you know, they basically wanted to have Jesus killed. Why? Because it was a threat to their power. But you see God's provision. You understand that? God's provision came forth and basically led them where they needed to go step by step. How is it any different in our life? How is it any different in our life, right? I mean, it shouldn't be. You understand that? God's provision is here for us, okay? God's provision is here for us to advance the kingdom of God, to do a work. He'll supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Y'all understand that? That's where it's fun to actually live. And sometimes it's not easy. But when, thank the Lord that truck started after I spit on it, made me look like an idiot. You know, because when I was down to nothing, God was up to something, right? You know, thank God when I go and pour oil across the driveway of my landfill and proclaim it, I'm looking like an idiot, making sure nobody's out there looking at me or whatever. Listen, thank God. I'm going to go ahead and stay foolish for the things of God. Amen. I'm going to stay foolish, yes. Right? Because I don't want to waste my time getting stuck in the mud to the right or the left, you know, and squander an opportunity to take my talents, giftings, and give them to the Father. I don't want to squander that time and say, well, I was scared. Yeah, I don't want to do that. I want to live a fruitful life. That's why I have a life of joy, because I listen. And hey, if he takes it away, so be it. You know, Paul come to that understanding. If you injure me, God will heal me. If you kill me, I'll go to heaven. So either way, it's a win-win. But me, I'm going to keep on doing what God's called me to do. And you notice the people that feel the most fulfilled, maybe the missionaries or whatever, are the ones that consistently, they found where God particularly wants them to be, and they're never shaken. You know, not to say they won't have struggles, but they understand, this is where God wants me to be. Consider our pastors, okay? Very, like I say, pastor, very elegant speaker, and they could have went to any other church, okay? They could have went to Dallas, Texas and built a big old elegant, you know, church. Guess where God called them? Huh? Called them right here. It don't make sense, right? It just don't make sense. And thank God he called them right here. But again, with no salary, by the way, and still working construction work, they called them right here to Highway. Besides, at a lot of other churches, you know, I've got something in the mail the other day. I thought it was just some something for us. I didn't know what it was, but it was a particular church, and they broke it down of, you know, the budget and stuff. And I realized what it was. I figured it was another bill for my business or something, but I realized what it was. And, you know, the pastor and stuff got compensated a good amount and everything like that. My point is, they could have entered to anything, you know, like that, that, you know, needs a pulpit filled, but they didn't. They chose to listen to the voice of God. And in essence, it was a long road, but the long road brings a fruit, right? Amen. Long road brings a fruit. Amen. So be encouraged today that, you know, be consistently obedient and listen to what God will have you listen to. Where else are we going to go? God, you have the words of life. That's where I want to be at. Watch God work in your life, okay? Be consistently obedient to the word of God. See his provisions met, okay? Understand, God's willing to meet you where you are and speak to you. Now, listen, they take just turning that one-eyed devil off, getting off this cell phone or whatever, be wherever you are and just listen. Well, I can't hear from God. Well, look, they got plenty right here. And trust me, you know, and sometimes I can't, you know, it takes me a lot longer. I might take one scripture and I sit there and think about it, you know, and it finally slowly starts to melt in. So you don't have to read paragraphs and paragraphs of it. Just start. Just start consistently and be obedient. Listen to the voice of God. Watch God's provisions work in your life. Amen. Amen. I'm so glad that the body of Christ can come together today. And I'm so glad that we're going to be able to start the new year off being consistently obedient. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the time we get to spend together. Father, thank you so much for your provision. Thank you for the understanding of your word, God. Thank you that your word comes forth and ministers to our life. Father, thank you for the healing of our pastors, God, and our church family, God. Put a hedge of protection around them, Father. Father, we thank you right now that we stand in the gap, Father, and we're able to send our petitions, our prayers forth. We know by your stripes we are healed, Father. Father, we thank you so very much for loving us, caring for us, guiding us all the days of our life. Father, where else will we go? Father, you have the words of life. Father, we need your presence on a daily, consistent basis. Father, we're so forever grateful, God. Let us represent the kingdom of God, your kingdom, and let us represent it well. Father, let us be beacons of hope in a hurting world, Father, in a hopeless world, Father. We desperately need your guidance and your provision. Father, we ask this in your precious name. Father, Jesus' name, amen.